Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by the Epson Workforce Pro, the world's fastest two-sided printer delivering high-speed automatic printing, copying, scanning, and faxing to keep your business running at full speed. Plus, you'll save on ink. The Epson Workforce Pro. Check it out at Epson.com. And by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zakhtar.
I'm Jason Howell.
And joining us today, anchor of Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel, Mr. Clayton Morris is back. Welcome, Clayton.
Hi, Clayton.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Great to see you.
Thanks for being back with us. So right before we started the show, a little breaking news reported from All Things D that Apple has acknowledged some iOS 5 bugs are causing battery issues. They say a small number, of course, they're always going to say that, a small number of customers have reported lower than expected battery life on iOS devices, and we have found a few bugs that are affecting battery life, and we will release a software update to address those in a few weeks. So just keep plugged in until then.
Yeah, it seemed like there were a few things going on, right? At first, you were hearing about there may be this contacts issue. That's what I seem to be having. There were some reports that it might be location services, that if you went into location services and you saw a little purple arrow next to one of the areas, perhaps time zone support, if that was constantly pinging to let it know that where you were in the world, that would be a problem. I didn't have that issue. Mine seemed to be on a migration from Mobile Me over to iCloud, and there may have been a doubling of a contact that kept pinging back and forth. It was constantly sending crash reports. I had thousands of crash report logs.
Were you able to fix it by deleting the contacts and restoring them? That's worked for some people.
No, you know, we got hit with a massive snowstorm. So I was away from my home base. We just received power back after 4 days. So I haven't had a chance to clean it up. But because I was on Wi-Fi, it seemed it was fine. It was when I was on 3G. So I was going to attempt to clean it up now. But now if there's a fix coming, I might just wait and hold it out.
And Apple doesn't say what the bugs are, but they did use the plural, bugs.
That does explain at least why it wasn't just 4S users. Some iPad users had complained. Some iPhone 4 users had complained also. So it's an iOS 5 issue.
Yahoo had their product announcement today. Product Runway, they cleverly call it. If you've never heard of Project Runway, which used to be on Bravo, and now it's somewhere else.
Lifetime, I think.
Lifetime, yeah. It's a play on that. They announced a lot of stuff, some developer things, some consumer-oriented things. The big one was, as we expected, Live Stand, which is sort of their Flipboard competitor. We've been playing around with it today. Sarah, what do you think of it so far?
I think it is a big pile of garbage.
And you're being nice on air,
I'm
right
not
now.
Don't
hold back.
Well, it's true. I played around with pretty much every news app there is for iPad today, and just because I'm interested in this sort of thing in general. Now, you're looking at the view of a motorcyclist, what is it? Just a category, really?
It's like a magazine.
Yeah. Right. And it looks nice. There's nothing wrong with the way it looks, you know, just at a glance. But the problem is that you've got this top layer where you could basically pin your favorites. And there's no logical way to do that at all. I mean, Tom and I, before the show, were trying to figure out how to add weather to that top area.
The weather app is back here in the back row.
You'll never actually
barely
see
tell
it
it's there.
Unless it's behind something else. And you can't, there is no way to pin it to the top if you're one of those weather people who just likes that sort of thing.
Yeah, you have to go to this explore all, you can't add something from within it. You have to go to the explore section to be able to add something. You can't swipe out. You have to hit this little arrow to swipe out. It's just, it's clunky.
The problem I have with this is, like, if it's not intuitive, it has so much competition already that it's like, I'm just not even going to fuss with this. I'll play around with it to see what else is wrong, and then I'll just never open it again because I can get my news other places.
At least it isn't crashy. I mean, you can spend a long time trying to go through all the non-intuitive, you know, gestures, but it won't
crash. Yeah, it's HTML. It's HTML5, so it's got that going for it. But one thing, though, that I think separates this from, like, AOL's Editions app, which is not bad. But this, it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the hour or 2 hours I've been playing with this, it's not really scraping content. They have partnerships with some of the providers here, right? So you're actually getting full articles, unlike what you're getting in like AOL editions, where it's giving you that front page of the story, and then you're having to dive deeper if you want to then link out to the website, go to the website, you're getting that, right?
Yeah, they're actually pushing this as a publishing platform. So it's not just scraping RSS. You know, Flipboard gives you whole articles, but it's just stuff pulled in from RSS. This seems to have been published specifically for this platform, although that means that it takes a lot of extra effort. So I'm not sure how many people will take advantage of that. I still use Reader for this sort of thing, not because it's pretty, but because it works and gives me everything in an easy-to-use manner. So I actually think this is pretty. Sarah differs. She didn't really like the way it looks so much, but I think it's really difficult to use.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to navigate. And to your point about actually trying to maneuver, you know, it would make sense, right? I mean, it's this design I just don't understand. Right at the top, as you're trying to add like the weather widget, as you said, there's the edit button right there. I should be able to, on that front page with the edit button right
exactly.
there,
yeah.
move
and
that stuff up there.
All it allows you to do is delete Yahoo Today if for some reason you don't want that.
Right.
They also announced an update to IntoNow, which is their TV indexing app. They bought that earlier this year. It's been around, but now they're going to add some more features. It actually be able to use the closed caption feed as you're watching TV. It hears the TV signal, tells you what you're watching. It already did that, but now it can use the closed caption feed to search the web and surface relevant articles based on what they're saying. So not speech recognition, but close to that. It's going to be available for iPhone today, the new updated version, if you want to go get it, Android and iPad. So that seemed cooler to me than LiveStand. I don't, again, know what the footprint is for people who want to use that. But
although IntoNow is, I mean, that was a standalone app before Yahoo bought them back in April. I mean, it's Yahoo branded in the App Store now, but that's kind of where the most of the fun of IntoNow was already there.
Maybe that's why it's going to be a fun application, unlike LiveStand, because this wasn't in-house. This is something they bought, and it was touted as the Shazam for television. That was
right.
That's
it
works really well.
Because you would hear it, and I'm like, that sounds like a really interesting thing, especially now because we talked about Zbox a couple of days ago. People want to do social TV. People want to be able to talk to each other while they're watching something and experience things together. It's a good way to do it, and hopefully it's just nowhere near as bad as LiveStand.
Well, GetGlue, I know my wife and I use GetGlue quite a bit, and she started using it before me, and I'm like, what are you doing? She would like just have her phone. She wouldn't even have to like hold it up to the television, and GetGlue would then find out exactly that we were watching some obscure cooking show or something, and it would publish it. She'd be able to publish it right to Twitter, and of course, there's a community around it, so there's that important social component for it. I have to say, what's exciting, what separates this, though, from the iPhone experience is the screen. Now on the screen, if I'm watching a football game, I can have context of articles. I can see information about the game that I'm watching. I can pull up interesting articles and context around the programs that I'm watching on the screen. So that extra screen real estate really separates it from the iPhone, where you're just pushing stuff out to Facebook and Twitter.
And before we move on, I'll just summarize some of the other announcements. Cocktails, a developer tool called Yahoo Mojito and Yahoo Manhattan, which is a hosting service, will be open sourced in 2012. They also announced the Core Content Optimization Relevance Engine. So if you're a developer, you might want to look into those. And Yahoo Mail gets a refresh with a new welcome page, kind of metro looking, actually.
But that also has the weather app, or the widget, actually up there the whole time. So it's inconsistent.
Big
so if you want to always use the widget and see the Yahoo widget, it's at Yahoo Mail, which is through the browser.
From confusing, let's go to Crashy. Alex Gawley, dad, husband, and geek, he says on Google+, but he's also the lead product manager for Gmail, posted on Google today, the iOS app we launched today contained a bug which broke notifications and caused you to see an error message when first opening the app. We've removed the app while we correct the problem, and we're working to bring you a new version soon. In the meantime, everyone who's already installed the app can continue to use it, even though it's buggy as crap. But before they withdrew it, some people got a chance to download it, and it's got that new Gmail feel. A lot of people don't like that new Gmail feel on the web. Do we like it on the tablet?
Well, the problem I have with it is that it's missing some functionality that you can even have with the web experience, like filters, for example.
Right. Which is huge.
Exactly. I mean, why have something that's supposed to be instead of the web experience, which a lot of people access Gmail through anyway on iOS, that has fewer points of functionality? Where's the logic?
Wrapper. Yeah, it's just a wrapper, I feel like, around the web version of this. Feels like it does less. I mean, one of the reasons I use Tweetbot on my iPhone is because it offers me a level of functionality that I can't get from the web version of Twitter.
Yeah, I actually got to it right as they pulled it down. I hadn't seen any stories about it, and I posted on Google Plus. I can't. It's telling me that it's not available. Did they yank it already? Because my wife had downloaded it, and she was complaining how buggy it was. And that was about 11:15 a.m., and then right after that is when I saw Alex Golley's post on Google Plus saying, yeah, we just yanked this thing.
Didn't they do something similar with Google Plus?
Google Voice had this problem.
Well, Google Plus launched, and then it had all kinds of issues, remember? Everyone was saying, you know, if you've got that first version of Google Plus, delete it.
Oh, the Google Plus app you're talking about. Yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah. Yeah, they obviously don't have the pre-testing down. Maybe it's a load testing issue, but this is an issue with notifications, he said. A bug which broke notifications caused the problem when you sign in, and then after that it would work. You think they would have noticed that.
You think, is there some reason that internally there'd be no way to replicate this error until it went live in the
App
Store?
Something in their internal testing is not recreating the proper conditions somehow, and I wonder what
that
is.
At least they pulled the application. I mean, the last time they did this recently was Google Voice. That got pulled, and within about a week or so, it was back, because iOS 5 and Google Voice didn't work very well together either. So I'm figuring this maybe a week. I mean, it's better to take this application down before seeing tons of one-star reviews and a completely unusable experience.
Houdini7 says it wasn't a bug. It was a bad signing certificate when they built their code, which could be. But again, why wouldn't you catch that? And a side note, Ben M. in chat emailed us, says he runs the former Austrian Apple-related web blog benm.at, and he got a takedown notice for writing the word Gmail because Google doesn't have the right to use the word Gmail in Germany. And he was just reporting on the Gmail app, but they told him he had to delete all references to the name Gmail or face an injunction.
Who does have the rights to Gmail?
He's like, I'm just reporting on something that's called Gmail elsewhere in the world. Why do I have to take this down? Anyway, yeah, there's another company in Germany that owns it. They had that problem in the UK as well, but they eventually...
So they're known as Google Mail there.
They eventually bought the term Gmail, and now they're known as Gmail in the UK. But weird situation. Thanks for emailing about that, Ben. All right, before we get to a break, Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer has been finally released by Rockstar. No release date yet, but we do know that the fifth generation of Grand Theft Auto will be set in a city based on Los Angeles. So not exactly Los Angeles, but pretty much Los Angeles. One analyst said it could be the first title in the series to generate over $1 billion. Main character is a retired criminal who has moved to the city to enjoy its warmer climate.
Didn't it start in Los Angeles? Grand Theft Auto?
Did it?
If it did, it felt as seedy as Los Angeles.
So it was not actually L.A. It was just a city with palm trees.
Do you have the sound down, Jason? Is that why we can't hear it? Oh, there we go.
My kids would be like the kids on TV. We play ball and sit in the sun, but, well, you know how it is.
So obviously makes it sound like it's going to be a pleasure. He moved there for the weather, and then all the crime starts happening.
Well, there was no crime. This would be a really lame game.
Yeah, exactly. Grand Theft Auto
Vacation. I'm going to be a dad, so I'm going to play that game.
Grand Peace.
I love in the description, masked gunman, car chases, an exploding car, and prostitutes. We've got to get the prostitutes.
It is GTA 5, after all. Right. So there you go. First look at GTA 5. If you're excited about it, it's out there. Go to rockstargames.com and take a look at it. Trailers can happen up to a year before a release, so we may not see this thing till the next holiday season. But it is the first time that they've put out a new GTA without having a new console to launch on. A lot of people thought they wouldn't see one ever because of that, because they'd wait for the next big console release. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Epson Workforce Pro, the world's fastest two-sided inkjet printer. Epson has engineered the Workforce Pro for productivity. It delivers high-speed, automatic, two-sided color printing, copying, scanning, and faxing, all to keep your business running at full speed. And Epson has designed the Workforce Pro to help you save on ink. The ink cartridges have extra high capacity. They're not trying to rip you off. And Epson has designed the Workforce Pro to give 50% less cost per page versus color laser. So they're not only high-capacity ink cartridges, they're also using less ink when they print. Workforce Pro prints from mobile devices like smartphones and tablets. Now, if you say, I've tried this network printing stuff, it never works, this works great. Have it on the same network, no configuration. You can install the app, it sees the printer, you print. There you go. Check it out at Epson.com. Epson, built to perform, and we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. On to the BBM Music app, which finally hit the BlackBerry app world today for Canada, Australia, and the U.S. As we have mentioned before, it lets BlackBerry owners add 50 songs, up to 50 songs in your pocket, from a choice of millions, and harnesses the social networking capabilities of BBM, giving premium users access to music from their friends' music profiles, and you can swap up to 25 songs a month in your 50-song playlist.
Wow. Man, stop right there. You had me at 50 songs.
I sure did.
But don't forget, you get more access to more songs if you have more friends on BBM, which, of course...
That's the weird thing about
it. Makes no sense to me. I mean, the thing that drives me bonkers about this is that, first of all, I like music discovery as a social experience. The social component of music has always been exciting to me. I was excited about Ping when it first launched until we learned what a disappointment it was. I learn about great music from my friends. Spotify is far more useful, but for $4.99 a month, to have access to 50 songs that I keep cached on my SD card on my phone that I can share with friends who don't... None of my friends own BlackBerries.
Yeah, you have to have friends, and you have to have friends that own BlackBerries. So
that's a double win.
Do friends let friends have BlackBerries anymore? That's the problem. I mean, I was asking earlier, did anybody at Twit have a BlackBerry? And I don't know if
I can think
does.
Of one friend I know, and I know that has a BlackBerry.
I know one person.
I think Kiki has a BlackBerry.
Oh, that's I know two then. Yeah.
All right, so they can share together.
Well, she did last time I checked. She may not anymore.
Anyway, so yeah, the more friends you have, the more 50 songs you can add. So you can have hundreds of songs if you have a lot of friends with BlackBerries. And free users, if you don't pay for it, can listen to 30-second previews.
Oh my gosh.
Now, there's no like desktop application so you can duplicate this functionality to listen to the same music, right? You always have to use your phone for this?
This is a phone app.
You can't... Right. Can you run this on your...
You can purchase your songs, but you're just purchasing them from the Amazon Music Store.
I see.
Right, so why would I want to spend those 30 seconds within this app doing discovery? Why wouldn't I just be over in the Amazon experience getting, what is it, a minute? How much time do you get even in the Amazon experience?
90 seconds.
Is it 90?
Well, in iTunes, yeah.
Amazon, I think, can get up to a minute.
I thought iTunes was 30 also.
It used to be, yeah.
It's 90 now?
They increased it. Yeah,
oh, okay.
To 90.
See, I stopped checking because I'm like, 30 seconds is not long enough.
Yeah, exactly. You also, by the way, if you're in Canada or the United States, you're going to get 2 months free if you're a current RIM subscriber, if you haven't shut off the podcast because you're mad at us now. And if you're in Australia, you get 1 month free before you have to start paying the $4.99. So you can try it out, at least, before you decide whether you're going to plunk down for that or not.
I cannot see this being a hit at all.
Square has released a new app called Card Case, which is in the iTunes store today, coming to Android soon. This is an update to Card Case. Card Case has been out for a while. It uses geofencing. So it knows when you're within 100 meters of a merchant that you have pre-approved, not just any merchant, but you say, I go to this coffee shop all the time, so keep track of it. When you get into 100 meters of the shop, you have a tab opened in that shop. And when you go to pay, you order your coffee or you're just buying beans or whatever it is, your hardware store, you're buying a hammer, you just tell them your name. And if they have an iPad register, which is the only reason you'd set this up, they'll see your name, they'll see your picture, and they'll say, all right, Mr. Akhtar, here's
your beer. It's probably what they would say.
Yeah, take your beer and go. It's already charged, and the receipt is emailed to you. You don't ever have to pull anything out. There's no waving an NFC thing at anything. You don't have to punch anything on your phone. It's magic.
Assuming this works the way it's supposed to work, this could be... great for bars and everything. This is exactly what I'd be using for bars and coffee all the time, because this is what I want to get. This
actually sounds like a bad idea when you put it that way.
Well, that's how I would use it anyway. but the thing is, what I'm afraid of is
I don't have to pull my wallet out. Give me another.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. But the other thing is, though, if it's constantly pinging to check where you are, it sounds like it's also going to kill battery life. That seems like a downside on this thing, because if it's always checking, are you 100 meters from where you are, or if you have location services on, I guess, you constantly are being tracked by Square. So, I mean, that could have some privacy concerns at that point.
Well, it's just using location services. If you're allowing your phone to track you, then you're being tracked already.
I mean, you probably have a lot of other apps doing the same thing, unless you specifically don't want to. There's actually an ice cream shop right down the street from my house.
That's also a bad idea.
Yeah. Smitten Ice Cream. It's really good. And they've been using Card Case for a while. They were one of the first stores that were kind of in the, the demo program. Works like a charm. So you just, you go up with your iPhone and you kind of check in. And then you get up to the register and you say who you are. And they've got your picture there. And you complete the transaction to just not even have to take the phone out.
Yeah.
It just seems that much more... I don't know. We're living on another planet, future world.
So, but if I never have cash.
Exactly.
If I know Clayton and I know he has his phone on and he goes to this and he uses this, couldn't I just walk up and say, "Yeah, I'm Clayton Morris"? And if they're not looking at the picture very closely, I've just charged Clayton something.
Why? Because you know he just walked by or something?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it could be open to abuse because they're not doing any verification.
That's the same thing when you
come out of a Starbucks and you say, "Hey, great to, you know, it's a beautiful sunny afternoon," and you run really quickly into the counter and make your coffee selection.
Give me a latte. I'm Clayton Morris.
I mean, in that case, yes, it's possible to like circumvent that by doing that. But you, as the person that's trying to get away with something, are always running a risk that you're going to get caught. So that's kind
of true of your reason. The law always,
not to
Jason.
Do it.
Yeah, on top of that.
Well, it is, but I mean, you kind of have to explicitly accept then that if you get caught, you're caught face to face right now.
I think the difference between a credit card can be stolen and used and nobody checks, but you have to have the credit card. Mm-hmm. In this case, I don't have to have your phone. You just have to be within 100 meters of the store.
If you started a tab at a restaurant or something, somebody could overhear your name and that could be the same situation. I mean, you don't have the possession of your card anymore. The vendor has it. So, I mean, you still run the risk of that in real life if you start opening tabs at all.
Mm-hmm. It sort of personalizes the retail experience in a way that maybe we've gotten away from, too. You know, there's a Starbucks near the train station near my house, and I know that the people who are there every morning at the same time, you know, they, "Hey, John, hey, my," you know, and there's this relationship that they've probably developed over 8-9 months. Now, if you walk in, it's like Kramer from Seinfeld. He wants to get everyone to have a picture in the lobby with a badge on it so everyone knows, "Hey, Tom. Hey, would you like that cinnamon dolce latte you get every day?"
They get to know you faster.
Right.
But now you have to ask them.
I wonder
their
if
name.
This will work, the geofencing will work if your iPhone is locked. Because imagine, let's say I steal your iPhone. So it's not about you being close to the ice cream shop anymore. It's just me phone. If it's locked, I mean,
it should, phones right? Just like Google Latitude or even Find My Friends. If my phone's locked, you can still track it that way, right? Yeah. Or even the geofencing feature in iOS 5, right? That still works if your phone's locked.
Yeah, so there's your answer because that's what it's using.
Yeah.
Is the geofencing.
So hold on to your phones, I guess.
Yeah, that's like anything. Anything you got on your phone is
right. If you steal my ATM card, they're probably not going to ask for your ID and you can buy a bunch of gas.
Finally, the University of British Columbia, Vancouver has put out a paper, or some researchers there have put out a paper called The Social Bot Network, When Bots Socialize for Fame and Money, claiming 250 gigabytes of data was stolen by the social bots they created. They released 102 of these things on the Facebook network, sent friend requests to 5,053 random users, and they got a 19% acceptance rate, which is kind of worrying that people would just accept from people they don't know, but whatever. The more worrying part is they then had those bots send connection requests to 3,517 Facebook friends, and they got a 59% acceptance rate because of something they called the triadic closure principle. When you see that a person you don't know is requesting a friend with you and they are a friend of someone you know, you're more likely to accept them. Once they were accepted, they would go in and get all of the information that was made available to them, like phone numbers, credit card, and not credit card information, phone numbers, addresses, any of that stuff that Facebook stores in there. So if you're not worried about that stuff or you don't store it in that, this isn't a big deal. And only 20% of the social bots were blocked by the Facebook immune system. They have shared their data with Facebook. Facebook says, "We have serious concerns about the methodology of this research, and we will be putting these concerns to them. In addition, as always, we encourage people to only connect with people they actually know and report any suspicious behavior they observe on the site."
Right. See, it's not only this idea of using friends you know, so you look on their profile and you see that they have 4 friends that you know or whatever, but it's also preying on the likes of guys who are seeing the avatar, the photo that they have on the site is of a hot chick, right? And then that individual is saying, "Oh, I don't know this girl, but she clearly has friends that are in my circle. Might as well friend her.
I'd like to get to know her."
Yeah, yeah. Maybe she'll be at that next party.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a self-selection bias, right? The people who are less likely to care about whether they really know someone or not are also less likely to protect that information that they're putting in there. So
that's the thing. It's like, I wouldn't put my phone number on Facebook ever. It just isn't something that I want to fill in. But I certainly wouldn't, if I even was going to have my phone number on my profile, open it to friends of friends.
Right. You can put your phone number on there to have it used as a second factor authentication.
Right.
In which case it's in there. But you can make it private so that none of your friends have access to it. Mm-hmm. Only Facebook has access to it.
But I know some of my friends who are pretty diligent about who they friend on Facebook have their phone number that's
just out there.
Yeah, I mean, for their friends. Because
some people want to use Facebook as a contact list.
Exactly. Well,
Facebook also said that because...
It's like Plaxo.
Because the IP addresses were coming from a trusted university source, that their system wasn't flagging these things as spam right away. So they were saying, Facebook was saying that the study might be a little skewed. On top of that, they also take issue with the study's numbers. They're saying, no way, these are not the numbers that we saw on our systems as well. So not only are they saying that we blocked more than you said, and if we didn't block you, it's because you had a trusted IP address. So the
lesson here is, if you're going to harvest information from Facebook, do it from within a university.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the news views. Internet Explorer is finally a minority browser. Overall market share has dipped below 50% during the month of October, according to Net Applications. That's for the first time in 10 years. Now, overall market share includes mobile browsers, so you may see some graphs out there that show it at 52%. Because if you just look at desktop, IE still has 52.63, but if you consider all browsers, including mobile browsers, they're now below 50%. Chrome increased its share on the desktop at the expense of IE over the month to claim 17.62%. Firefox's share didn't move at all. People who are on Firefox just tend to stay there, but they didn't grow much.
You know what surprised me about the mobile graph was how much farther ahead Safari was than browsing in Android. I would have thought they'd be more neck and neck.
Yeah, especially with the number of Android phones out
there. Exactly. Yeah. Julian Assange lost an appeal with the British High Court today and could be extradited to Sweden soon. Backstory, an arrest warrant was issued for Assange in Sweden after he was accused of sexually assaulting two women in August 2010. Assange's lawyers have 14 days to appeal the order, but according to The Guardian, they'd have to show the court that there's a wider issue of public importance. If his lawyers don't convince the court of that, Assange could be extradited within 10 days.
Shall we look into the patent wars?
Sure. You gotta give it some authority when you do that.
It's so serious. Okay, Edible Apple examined some of Samsung's court filings and found out Samsung would like to have a nice little discussion with Jonathan Ive, Douglas Satchker, and two other Apple inventors. Well, they don't really just want to have a discussion. They want to depose those designers in their Apple-Samsung U.S. patent smackdown.
There you go.
The actual trial is scheduled for July 2012, where it will be decided if Samsung slavishly copied certain iProduct designs. Deposition deadline is the 1st of December.
But in other patent wars news, a victory against Apple, according to Florian Miller at Foss Patents. Apple's lost a community design case against Nuevas Tecnologías y Energías Catalá, related to its Android tablet, the NTK. Apple has successfully used the same community design patent to keep Samsung Galaxy Tabs out of several countries. The Spanish company is also seeking damages from Apple now, since its products were seized by Spanish customs. Nuevas Tecnologías has also filed an antitrust complaint against Apple.
C Spire announced the iPhone 4S plans, and there are four of them. They all claim unlimited data, but the two lower cost options at $50 and $70 have little asterisks. Why? Well, because they have unlimited data, except for popular streaming services such as Pandora or Netflix, the kind of stuff that you'd want unlimited data for. So that pretty much means unlimited web surfing. If you want a non-asterisked data plan, C Spire will offer two higher priced options at $90 and $100 per month.
So what are they monitoring as soon as you jump on Pandora? That's it for your plan?
I'd love to know.
Like going to all-you-can-eat restaurant, and you know when they say like no sharing, otherwise, and if the waiter catches you, you were sharing crab legs with that guy.
They installed the waiter app.
Yeah.
Out with you. According to CNET, Jay Allard may not be ready to let go of his courier vision because he is investing in a company that is developing a courier-like app for iPad. The app is called Tapsposé, I think it actually is supposed to be. Should be available by Thanksgiving, by the way. Benjamin Monard, one of the developers behind the app, says Allard has acted as an advisor as well as an investor. So might get a courier.
All Things D reports Groupon will set a price for its IPO tomorrow in preparation for going public this Friday. Groupon looks to raise about $540 million based on $11.4 billion in valuation. The company is selling a 4.7% stake in the company by issuing 30 million shares. Stock will be available for trading on NASDAQ under the symbol GRPN.
Peter Kafka of All Things D spoke with AOL's Tim Armstrong about the possibility of a merger between AOL and Yahoo. Kafka asked directly, and Armstrong was quite clear, saying AOL's future is as an independent entity. So when Kafka asked, so you don't want to merge with Yahoo, right? Armstrong said, from what we're focused on, the answer is yes. So I guess we'll count AOL out of merging with Yahoo right this second.
A federal court in Nevada has directed U.S. Marshals to seize over $60,000 of Wright Haven's property in satisfaction of a judgment against it. Wright Haven had sued Wayne Hohen over copyright infringement, but Hohen won the case thanks to some wacky thing called fair use. Wright Haven had been ordered to pay Hohen's legal fees, which was over $34,000, and failed to pay. His attorneys then spent $30,000 attempting to collect the original $34,000, hence the seizure of over $60,000 of Wright Haven's assets.
Let's move on to Randomizer.
Randomizer.
This one's all over the internet today. In Germany, some folks have created I think it's four quadricopters to create a multicopter that can then fly people into the sky. Now, certainly, it's not the first time man has flown, but it's pretty much the coolest way I can think of, other than rockets. Look at this.
This is awesome.
Get there.
Come on, little buddy.
Thank goodness that they filmed it. But yeah, so he's got four quadricopters.
Is he standing on Leo's ball?
Yes.
I think it is. Yeah.
You're welcome, quadricopter.
First manned flight with quadricopter.
It's like a flying spider.
There's nothing unsafe about this.
No.
When you look at it.
No, he's protected by a hard candy shell.
Right. And 12 propellers swirling. Yeah.
Only sort of exposed to the
swirling. On a windy day, this would be a lot of fun.
It's pretty awesome, though. You gotta check this out. If you're listening to the audio podcast, go to the show notes or just go to wired.com and look for electric multicopter. That'll take you right there. Let's thank our other sponsor for today, Ford. Of course, this episode brought to you by Ford, featuring available voice-activated sync app link. We're talking about apps a lot these days, all the time. We're talking about Pandora earlier. We're talking about Twitter all the time. And if you're in your car, you have no business playing with Pandora's options or being on Twitter unless you have Sync App Link, which lets you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road and just say, hey, you know what? Open that Jonathan Colton station, or thumbs up that song. I want to keep that one coming. Play station classical music, or if you've got OpenBeak, you can say things like read timeline, and your Twitter timeline is read to you, or read replies, and you get all your replies as you're driving down the road. Sync App Link is built on an API platform that allows Ford to continue to work with Ford Tech, App Link developers in the app community to bring apps to life with voice in their vehicles. You can find it on the 2012 Ford Fiesta, so go take a look at it at a Ford dealer near you, or go to ford.com/technology and see this and other technologies Ford is bringing to vehicles at ford.com. And don't forget, Ford's helping us put together a barbecue. Clayton, I wish you were going to be out here November 13th. You wouldn't happen to be in the area, are you?
No, I would love to, but now I understand it's so popular. What, you only have what room for 60 people?
Yeah,
you have to break the fire marshal code.
You have to go to twit.tv and sign up, get some tickets, because we can only fit so many people in here without being a fire hazard, especially with the barbecue going on, right? so come on, check it out. We'll probably have some Ford cars for you to look at. You'll get to watch Twit record. It's November 13th, and we'll be doing another one in December. Go to twit.tv and check that out. We thank Ford for their support of Tech News Today. Let's look at the calendar.
It's Vim's 20th anniversary today. Now, I'm pretty sure that some of you are like, Vim? What's Vim? Rim? Vimeo? A lot of people might not know, but the Vim text editor was first released to the public on November 2nd, 1991. So you OG text editing fans know exactly what I'm talking about. So happy anniversary to Vim. PlayStation Home is relaunching on the PS3 tomorrow. Google says the Android 4.0 is going to be open sourced in the coming weeks. We don't know exactly when, but sounds like soon. HTC is showing off its latest invention tomorrow. Can you hear my little air quotes.
Yeah, like they were single. Invention. They were single quotes. I could tell. Yeah.
Canon is planning its Hollywood event. We talked about this. Gosh, I think they announced it back in September, but it's tomorrow. They're going to have some sort of a red carpet event. We think it sort of sounds like the film industry, but we don't really know. Although we do know that it's the same day that the new Red Scarlet camera is going to be announced. So,
hey, if they're rolling out a red carpet and a red scarlet, maybe Canon's going to be doing the red.
They sounded like Red Scarlet, red carpet could be.
That's not going to.
I guess never say never, but I don't think so. I think they're just trying to steal some thunder from each other. And finally, Republic Wireless is launching on November 8th, and they're going to bring a $19 unlimited everything plan. Now, how do they do that, you might ask? It's managing mostly through VoIP over Wi-Fi calling. So anytime you can be connected to Wi-Fi, it switches over to VoIP, but you can connect to a mobile network when you're out of Wi-Fi range. Which is a really good deal for a lot of people.
$19 unlimited, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice job, Republic Wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check what's incoming.
Incoming message.
I got an email from No Names, Please. When we were talking about the SOPA Act that's starting to make its way through Congress, and we mentioned that it could encourage or break the DNS system because people might want to use alternative DNS systems in the wake of that act. He pointed out that one DNS system that's out there, and there's a bunch of them, but one is called Namecoin. It's an offshoot of the Bitcoin system that uses a transaction chain to hold information about who controls a domain name, and then that owner can put orders into the blockchain for the DNS. Right now, it requires a Firefox add-on to use and only supports .bit addresses, but it could be expanded to more. Best part is that the only cost to reserve a domain name. All renewals are free as long as you put in a command at least once every 90 days to say that you still want the domain. It almost sounds like a better way of doing domain names anyway. For all the controversy around Bitcoin, it has a very hardened encryption system behind it, so much, much more hardened than the current DNS system. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. I never heard of Namecoin before.
Me either.
I like it.
I hadn't heard of it either. I looked this up today, and I was intrigued by this concept. It's, instead of having to worry about losing access to your website, I mean, because this could be a real issue with SOPA, there's always a way around it. That's the other thing that this showed me. Again, always a way around it.
Yeah, there's free DNS out there. There's a bunch of alternative DNS systems, but this one using the Bitcoin system I thought was particularly cool.
Okay, next email from Vic, the Texas rancher slash pilot. Hey, gang, says Vic. Saw this on the way to Abilene this morning. I was going to investigate, but, well, I was in kind of a hurry, and really it didn't seem like that big of a deal. Of course, I can always wait until one of my friends check it out.
So, in the audio podcast, it's a sign for Eula, Texas, spelled E-U-L-A. But I think, Vic, just driving past that sign, you agreed to it.
Yeah, if you take a picture of the sign, you've pretty much signed it all away.
Maybe you had to click the arrow. Then it says accept or deny.
You have to give of Eula all your Bitcoins.
Don't forget, if you want to submit stories to our show, technewstoday.reddit.com is the place to go. You can vote things up or down, submit things if you want. Really appreciate all the folks who help us out there. And we're getting near the end of the year, so we need your help picking the best moments on Tech News Today and actually any show on Twit. Go to twit.tv/bestof, B-E-S-T-O-F. Any information you can give us is good, but the more specific the information, the more helpful it is in helping to pick the best moments of Tech News Today for the year. That's twit.tv/bestof. Clayton Morris, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. Really appreciate talking with you.
Always happy to be on the show. Thanks, guys.
Let folks know not only where they can find Fox and Friends, but anything else you're doing on the web out there.
Yeah, so we just brought all of our shows under one roof. Finally, they were living for 3-4 years in disparate places at Grizzly Productions. So now if everyone goes over to grizzlyproductions.tv, we have our nice new clean website so people can stream shows right from there, download them, etc. And we're about to launch a new comic book show in a few weeks. We're putting the finishing touches on it. So that'll be launching on grizzlyproductions.tv in just a few weeks.
Nice. Exciting, man. I like what you guys are doing over there with the Grizzly Productions. You got some cool stuff. I'm excited you're doing a comic show. That's great.
Yeah, we're trying to do, the lifestyle stuff that I wanted to the shows that I want to listen to, on a regular basis. We got our sports show, so it's nice. It's on my own network, so I can listen to my own sports show. Yeah. I don't host it, and it's, I can get all the news I want on a Monday and Thursday. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. All right, thanks everybody for watching or listening. Twit.tv/TNT is the way to find all of our stuff, like our show notes and all of that sort of thing. Our email address is tnt@twit.tv, and you can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. Appreciate all the people who do. Keep them short. We may play them on the air. Tomorrow, we've got Pete Rojas from GDGT coming on the show. We'll talk to you then.